Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with bonkers.ie, Ireland's favourite comparison and switching website. Visit bonkers.ie today and start saving on your household bills.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. Well, anyone who saw RTE Investigates last night on RTE1 with Una Smith and indeed the fantastic RTE Investigates team, they have been working on allegations and indeed convictions of abuse within the scouting organisation, going back to the CBSI, Catholic Boys Scouts of Ireland, and they merged with the Scout Association of Ireland, and now they're called Scouting Ireland. And the number of the people who appeared on the programme last night, you would have heard them here on Liveline about 18 months ago. Now, courageously, they went in front of the camera and they detailed their abuse. Now, one of the new pieces of information that emerged last night is in relation to a man called Joseph Lawler. Now, Joseph Lawler was the chief scout in Ireland for, I think, 12 years in total. He was also in charge of their jamborees, i.e. their weeks away, whatever, and they were massive, massive events. And he became director of the National Scout Show from 1986 to 1992. And then he became chief scout again for a second term. And then he became director of the National Scout Show from 1998 till 2006. Now, serious allegations were made against Joe Lawler last night. Very serious allegations. He died, unfortunately, in 2009. And the reason I know he died is that I worked with Joe Lawler. He was a senior employee of the Department of Justice. He was a senior probation officer in the Probation and Welfare Service. He was based in Anne's Lane, which is where I was based for a period, and in Smithfield, which was the headquarters. We all had individual offices. He was a senior probation officer. I was not on his team, and I wasn't aware at the time of any allegations about him, though I do know that it was an odd building, to say the least, and that we all had individual offices with closed doors. It's more open plan now. However, the allegations last night about Joe Lawler seemed to be irrefutable. And the question I want to ask is, did Joe Lawler work with young people every single day, as we all did in probation? Invariably, the people on probation are invariably male and invariably young. They're between 16, 17, up to their late 20s, when they, most of them, thankfully, grow out of crime and move on with their lives. But Joe Lawler worked with young people every single day, and he had young people in his office every single day. And as a senior, he also would have been in charge of other probation officers. But the other thing about Joe Lawler, my memory, is that he was in charge of hostels. If a judge had a young person before him and had nowhere to send them because of family difficulties or whatever, he would allocate them. He would ask the probation service to fix them up in a hostel. And that was Joe Lawler's remit as well. So the question arises is, the fact that Joe Lawler was a senior employee of the Department of Justice, a senior employee of the Department of the Probation and Welfare Service, which is a wing, at that stage, it was a very close wing of the Department of Justice. Everything had to go to the Department of Justice. One of the reasons why I left after 6 years, that every single project you suggested had to go to Stephen's Green, and it was invariably knocked back by civil servants who wouldn't even bother to meet you about the idea. But that's neither here nor there. The question, and we put it to the Department of Justice, when Joseph Lawler was a senior probation officer for nearly three decades, I reckon he was there long before I joined and he was there long after I left. When Joseph Lawler was a senior probation officer, were there ever any allegations made against him by other, by colleagues or by clients, as we call them, i.e. young people who, when they were put on probation, would have to go in and meet Mr. Lawler and be interviewed by him, so to speak. And is there a letter on file? Is there any allegations on file about Joe Lawler with the Department of Justice? And if so, what did they do about the allegations? Because Joe Lawler retired, as far as I know, he was long gone. He retired in full respect and honour in the probation service. Even while now emerges this horrific abuse that was going on when he was the chief scout of the CBSI. This is just some of the evidence. Well, I want to go to Lisa Bracken first. Lisa, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Were you aware of the allegations against Joe Lawler?
Yes, I was. Joe, I've spoken to one particular survivor of Joe Lawler's abuse. And the graphic, horrific nature of the abuse inflicted, it's just beyond words.
You're lying. You're getting a horrific interference there, Lisa. Let me play the clip from last night's RTE Investigates. And this is Frank Butler, who, remember, is a senior, just to put it in context, is a senior trainer in the CBSI. And he said he became aware of allegations against Joe Lawler. And when Joe Lawler proceeded to go for the most senior position, the most powerful position within scouting at that time, he confronted Mr. Lawler about the allegations. And you'll also hear the voices of young people who were abused by Joe Lawler.
I was running a training course, and this young man, who was being quite non-participative, shall I say, and he said, "I want to confide something in you, you know," that the then chief scout had abused him when he was a cub.
At the time, this former cub did not want Frank Butler to formally complain. We traced four survivors of Joseph Lawler, including this man who gave us a statement. He described how on camp, Joseph Lawler would check the scouts were not wearing underpants under their pyjamas at night. I was inspected by Mr. Joe Lawler, using a torch and looking into the sleeping bag, and he occasionally put his hand into some people's sleeping bags, and how people would usually point out their underwear on top of their sleeping bags so as to avoid an inspection. This did not always work. A second former scout said that when he received first aid from Joseph Lawler in the late 1960s, my pulse temperature was taken by placing his hand down inside the front of my trousers. A third survivor also gave us a statement that he was molested by Joseph Lawler in 1970. He was 11 years old and had attended Mr. Lawler for first aid with a foot injury.
One of the times I ran for chief scout, I approached him and I said, "Joe, you really shouldn't be doing this job, running for chief scout." And he said, "Why?" And I said, "I think you know, Joe, why. You know," I said, "I think it's generally known about your activities." And he said, "If you say anything about that, I'll take the full weight of the law. With full weight of the law, be brought down on you." He wrote me a letter not too long after that, accusing me of being anti-Catholic, non-Catholic.
Our research also reveals that as early as the late 1960s, in the Coolock Artane troop where Joseph Lawler was a scout leader, other leaders spoke about his sexually inappropriate behaviour. Paul Connor, a former scout leader from the troop, remembers being told when at a meeting preparing for a camp.
After they discussed previous camps, they said a bit of advice: if you need first aid on camp, don't go up to Joe Lawler. So when I asked why was that, they said that whatever ailment you went to first aid for, to Joe, even with a headache, it was, you know, "I'll just check to make sure you haven't been ruptured, and stick the hand down the trousers or up the trousers." That was or try to take the shorts off.
As part of the CBSI leadership, Joseph Lawler was in a position to influence the way in which complaints, including allegations of abuse, were handled. Both Joseph Lawler and a second national leader occupied positions which, according to Scouting Ireland's briefing document, may have allowed them to intervene directly in those cases through their access to confidential files and related documentation.
And that was the report from part of the report from RT Investigates last night about these allegations against the chief scout at the time, Joseph Lawler, who was also, as I say, and this wasn't mentioned in the report, he was also a senior probation officer in daily contact with young people for, I reckon, four decades, including the time and after the time that he was accused of these allegations, looking at the time frame. 51551 Joe at RT.ie. Now, Lisa Bracken, I know you were instrumental in encouraging other people to come forward to this programme about 18 months ago to tell their stories of abuse in the Scouts, the Boy Scouts. What do you know about the allegations against, the new allegations that have emerged in the public eye last night about Joe Lawler?
Joe, I've spoken to quite a number of victims of Lawler, and make no bones about it, that man was a prolific, seriously prolific paedophile. I know of one particular survivor who is left, obviously, to this day in a very, very bad way, a very vulnerable person. But I've witnessed with my own eyes documentation where this chap did go to the scouts and did lodge a complaint and has spoken time and time again and okay. been completely ignored, totally ignored, nothing.
And who did he complain to about Joe Lawler?
He complained to Scout in Ireland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And did they do anything?
They did nothing whatsoever. They haven't acknowledged, you know, and there's a huge thing, Joe, here with the acknowledgement of this. It means a lot just to, you know, it's so difficult for survivors of abuse to actually just speak up, to speak their truth. And it's another thing altogether when they finally, after decades of silent suffering, open their mouth and they're just not acknowledged whatsoever, you know. And the catastrophic damage that man has inflicted on one particular survivor is just unspeakable.
Mm-hmm. And were you aware, Lisa, or were any of the victims aware that he had a senior position, a senior social work position in the Department of Justice?
We were aware, Joe, and, you know, this man, like most prolific paedophiles and like most of them, you know, certainly most of the victims I've spoken to, and as you probably know, my husband yeah. is a victim himself, yeah. That these people, like Lawler, seem to ingratiate themselves into these situations where they have, you know, it's carte blanche, it's like a buffet there in front of them, and they're trusted, they're put into these positions, unquestioned, totally unquestioned, and left to their own devices.
You see, my
and accountability yeah. needs to happen.
And you know, if more than one person complained of abuse by Joe Lawler,
I personally know of three.
Three, okay.
Complained about it, yeah.
And you say,
and I've seen the documentation, so yeah, I've seen letters,
okay,
handwritten letters.
Okay, insofar as you can, what can you tell us about the duration, the severity, as the word is used? You say he was a prolific paedophile.
Yeah, and you know, the severity, and I'm trying to be mindful of them. I know it's, you know, it's very graphic and it's not for everyone's ears, but
okay.
We're talking not only digital penetration,
okay.
you know,
yeah.
And we're talking about, there seems to be, with that man in particular, there just seems to be a horrible undertone of evil, Joe, and control, you know, and a kind of a superiority complex, if you like, with his ways of abuse, you know. And he did seem to think he was untouchable, and quite frankly, he was, because nobody did anything, you know.
I remember when I was in probation service, as I said, I didn't have any direct dealings with him. I would have met him on a corridor because we all had individual offices, as I say. He was a senior. He'd been there. He'd extreme confidence. I know that. And I don't think he would brook any quarter, take any quarter from anybody. He seemed to me to have been there forever when I arrived. I don't know if he was, because when the probation service started, I think in the 60s, you didn't have to be a qualified social worker to get in, as far as I remember. Subsequently, that changed dramatically, and you had to have a professional qualification to become a probation officer. But a lot of the people, and this is no reflection on them, a lot of them are very, very good, I hasten to add, didn't need a professional qualification. Joe Lawler would be affable in the corridor. He'd ask after you, and I was only young at the time, obviously, much younger than him, and... But as I say, I never heard until recently, and I knew this was coming up in RT Investigates, but I hadn't heard until recently of allegations against, I knew there was allegations against senior CBSI people, but I didn't know it was about him. But you've no doubt, Lisa, having read the documentation, that Joe Lawler, now deceased, or the people who employ Joe Lawler, have questions to answer about, did they ever receive complaints? And if so, was he allowed to continue to work, to be paid? A CBSI, you're not paid, but in the Probation and Welfare Service, you're paid to work with young people and meet young people on a one-to-one basis in your office or their homes or their hostels or whatever. You're convinced from the evidence there that Joe Lawler and his employers have a case to answer. And Scouting Ireland, of course.
They do, of course, Joe. And when Scouting Ireland are handed, and I'm speaking fact here, medical evidence, and I'm trying to word this as sensitively as I can, given that, you know, the nature of the topic. When they are handed medical evidence of a child who was abused by him, by Lawler, who subsequently went on to need a colostomy bag.
Oh, my God.
From anal penetration damage. I mean, that's what we're talking, Joe. Do you know what I mean? Mm. So if they can't acknowledge that and, you know, take ownership of their arrogance, their ignorance, their blatant disregard for time and time again people getting in touch with this association and completely ignoring them. Do you know, it doesn't send out a great message of hope to survivors, and everybody needs some sort of hope that they will be at least acknowledged. Do you know, and I'd also like to say, Joe, that a lot of people seem to be of the mindset that Scouting Ireland and the whole organisation of what it was before are not going there because there's a sense of that this is about compensation. And I can say that there was no whatsoever suggestion of that person with those injuries looking for compensation. He was simply looking for acknowledgement and an apology. He didn't want to be paid.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Well, two people in that clip there, Frank Butler, who was one of the main interviewees and very honest interviewee in the whole programme, former training commissioner.
Very brave, yeah.
And he specifically mentioned Joe Lawler and that he confronted Mr. Lawler about the allegations against him. But the bizarre thing is, and the other man was Paul Connor, who said it was openly known not to go near Joe Lawler because he served two separate terms as chief scout. One from, I'll get the dates now in a sec, for the 80s and then back again in the 90s. He was the chief scout in charge of the scouting jamboree in Ballyfin, County Offaly in 1993. And anyone who knows scouts knows that those jamborees are the keynote event, a massive number of young people supervised, obviously, because in the main, the Scouts are a fantastic organisation. And he was the main organiser of that. He was director of the National Scout Show from 86 to 92. And then he became a chief scout for his second term in 1992. And then he took up the position as director of the National Scout Show from 98 until 2006. So for 35-year period, he was heavily involved in scouts. And yet nobody shouted. People seem to know of allegations against him, but nobody shouted stop.
But you can be sure, Joe, that if, you know, the likes of Frank Butler, who spoke so eloquently, and it was very brave of Frank Butler to speak out, because not many people will, for fear of, you know, ex-colleagues and that, you know, not taken too kindly to it. So I thought it was very honourable of Frank Butler to speak. Mm. I think that if the likes of Frank knew, obviously the people at the top knew, and this just went on and on. I can't fathom how Scouting Ireland can just leave this and not take accountability. You know, we need honesty. We need an acknowledgement. We need a sorry. We need to understand that there are people. You know, there have been suicides, Joe, as a direct result of people just not being able to cope anymore. Living with the pain of what was inflicted on him by Lawler, by O'Brien, by Leddy, by all of these convicted paedophiles. And that's what's missing, Joe, the honesty of it, that people are afraid to speak out and speak in what I was saying to you there, in the graphic terms of what was done. Do you know what I mean? Children were defiled and violated in unspeakable ways. It's almost like watching a horror film in your mind when you're sitting listening to the victims.
Yeah.
And the way they were chosen, you know, they had ways, each and every one of them had their own kind of way of abusing, of selecting children. And they seemed to go for children who might be vulnerable you know, I know I've spoken an awful lot to victims who were from single parent families. So there was just a mother there, and you have to scout the likes of Lawler Leddy O'Brien and that stepping in like a father figure almost.
The thing I worry about now is in probation, as I say, you mentioned vulnerable young people, vulnerable young men. The young men that came into probation were invariably, not always now, but invariably from difficult backgrounds. And they could be vulnerable, and they could be looking for a father figure, and they could be vulnerable to a paedophile. You say he's a prolific paedophile who would have been well used to grooming young people. That's my worry, and that's why the questions have gone into probation service and indeed to his direct employer, the Department of Justice. Okay, Lisa, what was it like for the victims seeing RT Investigates last night? Was there another sense of vindication, I hope, and courage and the strength they've shown?
Oh, absolutely. Joe, they were delighted with the outcome of Primetime Investigates. I think they, Philip Gallagher and Una Smith did a fantastic job, and RT as a whole, touching on this, you know, and I said it before and I've said it again, some people give out the RTE and the wages, this, that, and the other, it's another subject. Every cent of it was earned, and the likes of yourself, just exposing this and giving people the opportunity where, you know, other outlets won't touch it for fear, you know, but I think RT as a whole are bravely embracing this, and on behalf of my husband and every other survivor that I speak to on a daily basis, I'd like to thank you RT as a whole.
Okay. Let me bring in Paul Connor. Paul, good afternoon.
Joe, how are you doing?
Paul, you featured in last night's programme, isn't that correct?
Just a small piece, yes.
Just a small piece. You knew Joe Lawler, as I did, but you knew him through you knew him through the scouts.
I did, yes. Yeah, he was my sports scout leader, yeah.
Okay, were you aware of the allegations against him, Paul?
Not till Una contacted me, you know, a number of months ago, that there was a number of people that come forward. I'd heard when I was a kid, you know, my first kind of year in scouts, before my first annual camp.
Yeah.
You know, some of the older guys in the patrols that I was in.
Right.
It just came out of the blue, you know, listen, you know, don't go near Joe Lawler. Now, I'd never kind of experienced anything like that. I never felt uncomfortable or aware that it was like that, you know.
And have you any idea why the lad said that? The older boys said it to you, don't go near Joe Lawler.
Yeah, it was just very matter of fact. You know, we were preparing for the annual camp that year.
Mm-hmm.
And there was, I'd say there were six or seven of us in the room at the time. There was the patrol meeting that we had.
Yeah.
And they were talking about what previous annual camps were like, what you do on annual camp, you know, preparing for it. And it was just casually said, well, listen, you know, don't go to Joe Lawler for first aid. And some of them, the impression I got, that some of them had actually experienced it firsthand, where he would, if you went for a headache, a cut knee, a sore arm, it was the same procedure, you know, he'd stick the hand down the trousers or down the shorts. Listen, I'll just check to see if he's being ruptured.
Oh,
and that was the word kind of used, you know. And I was actually kind of taken aback, you know, because I was a year or so when the scouts at that stage.
Yeah, you remember it vividly, Paul, you remember the name used. What age were you at the time when the older lads gave you this warning?
Yeah, I would have been 12 or 13 at the time.
And they would have been 14, 15?
They would have been 14. 15 would have been the eldest, the upper end of the, you know, 15, 15 and a half maybe. The patrol leader, assistant patrol leader. And I actually remember, I can remember the guys that were there, you know, four or five of them, I can remember the names of it. And it was just, they didn't seem concerned about us, you know. It was just joked about as such, you know. It was, you know, this is, you know, just keep away from
them. Steer clear of them.
So,
yeah, okay. And when did you... When did you leave the scouts yourself?
When did I leave? I left 1983. I went on then, I stayed on and became a leader, assistant leader and leader, and... 1983, I think, I finished in the scouts.
And did you were you aware of other allegations? First of all, did you know that Joe Lawler had a senior position in the Department of Justice, working with children on a daily basis? You wouldn't have been aware of that,
yeah,
I presume.
I would have been aware of that.
Oh, would you? Okay.
He was in the probation service. I think it was the juvenile section, as far as I know.
Yeah, he was.
Because at one stage he took he'd contact still with the guys in the 80s, you know, those of us that were still, that kind of grew up in the 80s when he was scout leader. And on one occasion he took, I'd say about a dozen or so of kids from the inner city that he had kind of under his care, I think, and got some of the scouts, our senior guys that time, to take them on camp. Yeah. You know, up to Larch Hill, to give them a weekend, give them experience, you know, away from the inner city and keep them. So, yeah, I would have known he was in the probation service, yeah.
Stay there, Paul. There's another clip, because another savage revelation last night on Una Smith and RT Investigates, the Teams programme, where a complaint by Martin Kerr of St. Peter's Scout Troop in Belfast. And it was about Martin Kerr, and it was Sean Corley who was making the complaint, again, very courageously. And he was horrified at how it was handled, because on the panel investigating the matter, and it seems to be that he was Joe Lawler was across dealing with complaints. He would be the chief scout coming in about other scout leaders. This is Sean Corley from last night's programme.
In the late 1980s, St. Peter's Scout Troop in Belfast off the Falls Road was at the heart of the parish where many young boys went to the Scouts. One of its Scout leaders was parish sacristan Martin Kerr. Another Scout leader at St. Peter's was Sean Curley. He remembers the day in the late 1980s when on a Scout trip he witnessed a Scout being horsewhipped and assaulted by Martin Kerr.
So we went to Lamb horse riding event, and I heard this merciful whack, ah, whack, ah, whack, ah, and it's me, freak me, what's going on? So I was getting out of the bus to see what was going on, and one of the kids got into the bus and he says, please take me home, please take me home, where Martin had him with the horse, whatever it was. So I says, that's okay, son, I'll take you home. And I was saying to myself, this can't go on. Martin Kerr physically grabbed that chair by the scruff of the neck and pulled him out of the scout bus that I was in and put him into his car. Don't know where he went, put him home, I don't know where he went with him.
After this incident, and having previously seen Kerr kicking a child, Sean was determined to have Kerr removed. He went to both the diocesan scout leadership and to the Catholic Boy Scouts headquarters in Herbert Place, Dublin.
They took me to Dublin. I went into the Herbert Place and had a meeting. Joe Lawler was there. I told him about Martin physically abusing the kids.
While the CBSI shut down the scout troop, citing an internal dispute between Curley and Kerr, Kerr was reassigned to a significant regional role where he continued to have access to children.
Martin Kerr was so powerful in the scouts, nothing was going to touch him. So when they closed in St. Peter's Scouts, so they promoted him. Instead of saying to Martin, look, you have to leave because they promoted him.
Okay, from RT Investigates last night, specifically about Joe Lawler, and now he asked the question, did anyone in the probation service know of the... I didn't, I wasn't on his team, but was anyone aware of allegations against Joe Lawler? And if so, did anyone do anything about it? And more importantly, did the powers that be in the Department of Justice Act and the serious allegations. Maybe they weren't made, and they were simply made in the CBSI, and they seem irrefutable at this stage. Stay with us, 51551.
Talk to Joe on 1850
715 815. And Joe at RT.ie, we're talking about the revelation last night and the allegations, substantial allegations made by a number of scouts against the former chief scout in Ireland for a long number of years, Joe Lawler. And I mentioned the fact, which wasn't referred to in the programme, I presume for good reason, that he was also a probation officer working with young people in the Department of Justice, and he was for many years a senior probation officer. I know that because I worked in the same building with him for a period. And I asked, did he ever abuse any of his clients in probation? That's the new... it's horrific what he did to the scouts, but if there was more victims in the probation service and an arm of the Department of Justice, and did the Department of Justice, were they aware of any allegations against him? Now, Patrick O'Dea. Patrick, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. Hi.
You were a probation officer. You were there when I was there, but I know you stayed long after I did. You left in 2002.
That's right, Joe, yeah.
Were you aware of allegations against Joe Lawler?
I was aware of an allegation about Joe Lawler that a client mentioned to me, and it concerned me enough that I wrote to my line manager, and at the time there were established protocols about if you had a disclosure, an allegation of a sort of concerning nature, there were protocols that you wrote to your line manager who would refer on to the Gardaí, to what was then the health board, and to the head of service. So we did do all of that.
Okay.
So we did inform the head of service. Now, that was a year or two before I left, which was I left in 2002. Now, as it happened, the young man didn't want to proceed with anything because the Gardaí and I think the health board made contact with him, and he didn't want to give a statement or anything.
But were the allegations made to you by this young man, were the allegations that Joe Lawler abused him in his position as a probation officer?
Well, that's what the encounter was. This young man, he wasn't a member of the Scouts. It was in that's what the encounter was.
He was put on probation by the court.
He would have been referred to me by the court for a probation report, and he told me that he had contact some years previously with the probation service, and he gave me a sort of an outline of it being very distressing and that he was sort of scared about any further involvement with the probation service.
Did he allege that Joe Lawler abused him in an office of the probation service?
A vague version of that, like it was difficult stuff for him, but something absolutely untoward and distressing and involving physical examination.
And I'm just thinking of what the other scouts were saying about don't go to jail, but there's no physical examination involved in going to your probation officer.
Absolutely none. No, absolutely none.
And what is involved is a young person who was in a pretty powerless situation going to somebody, a probation officer in his case. I don't know if he was a senior at that time. A very powerful position, because people sometimes forget, as a probation officer, when you're put on probation, part of the sanction that you have if the young person isn't fitting in or adhering to your instructions or whatever, part of the sanction you have is to go back to court and ask that they be sent, laid them before the judge again and say, this man was offered probation as an alternative to prison, but he's not prepared. So you had got the power to actually send, you had an enormous amount of power as a probation officer, and Joe Lawler would have had that power over this young man.
He could have recommended that he remain in the community or that he's placed in some sort of custodial arrangement. But at the time there was, we were all clear. There were well established guidelines as what to do when somebody made a disclosure.
And were you aware, you're saying, and it's quite clear, that around the turn of the century, around 2000, when Joe Lawler was still alive, you became aware of a complaint, an assault, which the young man, he was now in his 30s from what you say, alleged had taken place 12 years previously?
Yeah, I think that's sort of something good timeline. Yeah,
which would have been the time he was involved in the Scouts. Now, what was the reaction of the powers that be in the Probation and Welfare Service to your complaint? Did at any stage were you told, well, we've put this to Mr. Lawler and he's denied it?
Well, I wrote to my line manager, who wrote to the head of service and to the other agencies, and so it was really important that it was kept on file, and that the incoming, because there was a change in head of service, that the incoming person would be aware of it. So I actually did go to the incoming person and say, you know, I have a colleague that I have some concerns about. So I would have made him aware as well.
Fair play.
And now whether in the allocation of Mr. Lawler to different roles, whether they took account of that, well, he better not be in hostels or residential, I don't know. But I mean, the evidence, such as it was an allegation. The young man hadn't made the statement. There's a certain soft intelligence, but not hard evidence. But I mean, I would like to think that there was care taken in any allocation to roles or responsibilities.
But we now know that priests, if there are allegations, and I know there have been false allegations made against priests, causing them enormous distress. But the protocol in the church is, if an allegation is made against you, you're immediately removed from duty. Joe Lawler given? Was he? First of all, he stayed as a probation officer. We know that, don't we?
Yeah,
for many years,
I left now, so I'm not quite sure exactly, you know, the remaining years of his career, because exactly what.
But I'm trying.
But he remained in the service. Yeah.
But what I'm trying to get at, Paddy, is I don't. Apart from if you're put into human resources, and no probation officers were in human resources, where you're just, it's an office job totally. I can't imagine any job, especially for a senior. If you became an assistant principal, you got further and further away from the client. I'm surprised Mr. Lawler, given his long years, never applied for assistant principal. But anyway, it would be hard to find a role within the probation service where you would not have contact with young men. That's my point.
And point taken, yeah.
Okay.
And as I say, I'm sure there's others who can fill the gap as to what action did happen or what, because as I say, I left in 2002.
But you're adamant, Paddy, that there should be a letter on file.
Absolutely. And I mean, my concern was very strong. My line manager's concern was strong. We made sure to follow all the proper protocols, and you know, I mentioned it to one or two key people, because I was leaving, that, you know, that this wouldn't be forgotten about.
Okay. Now, There's other issues raised, Paddy, because, again, to explain to people, our personnel files when we were probation officers were held, as far as I know, in the Department of Justice. They were held in Stephen's Green. And the reason I know this is that a Minister for Justice, Michael Noonan, subsequently when I met him with a different hat on, so to speak, as a broadcaster, he told me that my job application had actually crossed his, that every job application in the probation service, he said my one in particular crossed his desk, and he had to say A or nay. So the Department of Justice were heavily involved in the running of the probation service. Isn't that true?
Yeah, because we were a section of the Department of Justice.
Okay.
I think it's a standalone agency now. It's a bit decoupled from.
Okay, but it was. It was.
Yeah.
Our checks came
they
from the
shared
Department,
all those services, okay. HR and etc.
And how do you feel about going public now? Which again is, I know you weren't a victim, Paddy, but you're still in Trinity, I presume. Are you in the social work department?
I'm actually not, but okay. I suppose the strong point I want to make is that, you know, that I was concerned about him because of something that a client said, and I took action. My line manager took action. The Gardaí took action. The health board, as was, took action. And there is a letter was placed with the principal of the service. Now, where it went or what action was taken, I'm vague.
That's what we're trying to... And that wasn't your, you did what you had to do. In fact, you did more than, I suspect, in the world we live in, a lot of people would do, especially in an organisation at that time that was heavily run, was very civil service orientated in terms of who... anyway, we won't go in and out of that. Paddy, the young person, when he was in his 30s, did you have dealings with him afterwards as a probation officer?
No, no, he didn't. He didn't stay engaged, and I think he was frightened of being back in the court system, and his experience had been previously very distressing. And even the fact that you know, it was made available to him, he was invited to make a statement by the Gardaí, and invited.
But this is a young man who, unfortunately, would have been in trouble with the law previously. That's how he came to the attention.
Now, very sort of low-level criminality, drunken, disorderly type of stuff.
Okay, Patrick O'Dea. Patrick was a probation officer, and he was also in the Department of Social Work in Trinity College in Dublin. That's Patrick O'Dea, and Patrick's point is that he was he forwarded in writing allegations to the Department of Justice that one of their employees, Joe Lawler, had abused an allegation, as I say, had abused a client, after probation service, through his position as a senior probation officer. That's the first time that angle has been revealed. Let me bring in Marty Miller. Marty, good afternoon.
Hello, Joe.
Did you know Joe Lawler?
I did. I would have known him quite well because I was a former scout. I was a cub, I was a scout, I was a venturer, which kind of brought you up to your late teens, if you like, within the organisation of what was CBSI back then, Catholic Boy Scouts of Ireland.
Yeah. And when you heard the allegations last night, did they come as a surprise against Joe Lawler?
Well, I'm not going to lie. I watched the thing sitting on my sofa and I was huddled up in a ball because the troop, the unit I was in, there was a serious, serious case in the 80s of one of the leaders who broke the trust of parents, of the children. It was nasty, nasty business.
And that man was subsequently convicted, isn't that
he
right?
Was.
He was referred to, okay.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
When the allegations arose, I don't know how you would know this, Marty, so I'm fishing in that sense and asking you to, if you remember, you do. But when the allegations arose against this other man who was subsequently convicted, would Joe Lawler have been one of the people investigating these allegations?
See, I wouldn't be 100% sure on dates, but Joe Lawler, to me, was always very high up in the organisation. He, if I have this right, now maybe I don't, but I think he was a chief scout. Then he went on, he kind of stepped back from that role, and I think he became chief scout again.
He did, yes, you're right.
He did two terms as chief scout of Ireland, right? So he would have had, the book needed to stop with Joe Lawler.
Good point,
and as far as I'm concerned, Joe Lawler would have been investigating himself if that was the case.
Yeah.
From what the television programme suggested last night, because I have spent, personally, I've spent, Joe, time in a car with Joe Lawler.
Mm.
You know, travelling late at night, just him, just me, and now things have fallen into place that I've kind of gone, okay. And I'm 45 years of age now. It's nothing ever happened. But I feel if I had been a weaker person, that things would have happened.
Mm-hmm.
He was always around.
And I know, I'm reading through the annual report of the scouting, scouts.ie, their annual report in 2009. It's a very detailed report, 60 pages, lavishly printed. There's only one deceased member of the Scouting Association mentioned in this document. This is 2009. To all our members that have gone home in the last year for their work in making Scouting Ireland what it is today, we owe them a great deal of gratitude. Do they then go on to list the members? No, they don't. They go on to say, in particular, we remember Joe Lawler, former Chief Scout, Scouting Ireland. He's the only deceased member that gets a mention, as far as I can see, in their annual report. But they would have been aware, because Frank Butler said it last night, that there were serious allegations against Joe Lawler.
Yes.
Long before the man died. Okay, thanks indeed, Marty Miller, Lisa Bracken, Paul Connor and Paddy O'D. 51551.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Statement from the Department of Justice about what Paddy O'D said earlier. Former probation officer, probation service, as you know, was run by the Department of Justice. And they say, we attach the highest priority to the protection of children. The Department of Justice is aware that one of the alleged perpetrators named by RT Investigates in relation to historic child abuse in scouting organisations was at the time a member of the probation service. As I said earlier, he was a senior member. An allegation that this probation officer had sexually abused a child in 1974 was made to the probation service in September 2000. We know that the man who made it had just been talking to us in the programme. At the time, the probation service took appropriate steps in response to the allegation and reported to an Garda Síochána and the relevant health board. In other words, they're saying, but the Paddy O'Dea told us it was he who went to the Gardaí and he who went to the health board, and he then told his seniors. I don't know, did he not trust not his senior but his senior management in the probation service or the Department of Justice? But anyway, it was Paddy O'D. So quick questions for the department, because they leave more questions than answers about this man who was an employee of a childcare agency. Did they interview the senior probation officer and indeed the probation officer, both professionals who made this, who wrote down this allegation, about the details of the allegation? Did they interview in person those people? Did they interview Joe Lawler in person? Was Joe Lawler suspended at any time while this allegation was being investigated? Was he moved away from his day-to-day work with children? Who told the Gardaí? Was it Paddy O'D, or was it, as the department, as the probation service is saying, it was them? And then finally, did they contact the CBSI? Because as Paddy O'D revealed, everyone knew in the probation service that Mr. Lawler was a senior member. He was Chief Scout of Ireland. Did the department do anything? Apart from, they say, we reported to the Gardaí and relevant health board. As I say, Paddy O'D did that, in fairness. So can we have answers to those six questions? We'll put them directly to the Department of Justice this afternoon. Tara Lockhart-Grant produced, and Ray Darcy is next.